me share something. This might help someone. I mean, the point of the podcast, my posts, videos, books. I'm not a good writer. I don't really have a charisma for doing videos, and by no means think I do a good podcast. It's just me communicating information that I feel led to communicate. I could have benefited from talking to myself. I mean, you could too, right? If you could get talk to yourself 10 years ago. And so this is a conversation to myself 10 years ago. Maybe my grandkid wants to hear it, right? And the barriers to entry to do that is really small. And one of the things that keeps people from investing in stocks, and my real estate friends have this, is the fear of the sell-off, of the market crashing. There's this perception, and in some cases it's kind of true. It's a risk. I talk like it doesn't bother me, but it does. The price goes up and down. And so while I may poke fun at financial advisors, just like I poke fun at gurus, and yet I watch gurus every day, I'm just trying to point out some weaknesses in the system, you know? I've learned a lot from Robert Kiyosaki. I've learned a lot from Tony Robbins. I've learned a lot from Gary Vee, from Dan Pena, from Joe Schroeder, from Raymond Rimbaud, Wallace Wattles, from Napoleon Hill. The list goes on and on. I have a library filled. I have like almost 1,000 books. It's almost 2 rooms of books. And what's funny, and I haven't really bought many books. I've cut my book buying way down. I only buy like 2 a month now. My wife used to freak out. I used to order 10, 20. I used to put hundreds of dollars every month into books that I didn't even read. Like, they were bought, put on the shelf, and I'll get to it. In other words, I'm buying more than I'm reading. Why? Because I need it at my fingertips when I want it. And also, there's this thing where a lot of people have asked me for my ebook. I can look at the stats. Almost less than a third of them actually read the book. Now, about half of them open the book. There's literally people who request my ebook and don't even open it. Like, what is that about? They're just wasting my fucking time. Like, what a soul stealer. If you've requested my book and then never bothered to open it, I mean, you understand, you took a human being's time. I spent hundreds of hours and a lifetime compiling it, and you go so far as to request it, and then I stop what I'm doing, copy, paste, move over, and send. And people say to me, why don't you automate it? Because I want to see who's requesting it. I want to look at your page. I want to see what you do on the weekends. I'm trying to understand the demographics of a person who would read a book entitled You Don't Have to Die Broke. Who is that person? Is it everyone? Is it a 14-year-old? Is it a 60-year-old? It helps me produce content. It lets me know who I'm talking to. Because sometimes I feel like I curse a lot. F-bomb. I try to stop. And for all I know, maybe my target audience, who could be helped the most by my message, won't be helped because I drop F-bombs. You know, I would hope the world wouldn't be so simple-minded that would... But the truth is, it is. The truth is, it is. There's people who would identify, who would disagree with Donald Trump if he said something that was actually true, just because they don't like him. That's just how simple-minded people are. You know people like that. But one of the things that has helped me get my mind around this idea of stock investing, and this is what I would encourage you to do. You say, well, I don't know anything about stocks. Read on the history of the U.S. stock market. Google, what was the first publicly traded stock? How did Wall Street start? And go through the stock market crash. Some of you don't even know what happened in 2008. You just know a headline. You don't know actually how it happened. You don't know the players that were involved. Who was in charge of the government? Republican, Democrat? Huh? What were they doing? What was Obama's plan? What was George Bush's plan? 2 presidents resided over the great financial crisis that had impact on it. George Bush, even though, you know, he got out of there. and then Obama. And they were in charge. And there were people at the Federal Reserve. Guess what? Those people work for Goldman Sachs. Go look at the markets. Go look at conspiracy theorists. They'll break it down for you how all these people are interconnected and related. And you know how many people that go from the Wall Street, Ivy League of Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, who refer to their people as Muppets? That's what they call their investors, Muppets. Because they take the money of the rich. They're not going to take your money or my money. You got to have like a mil, good mil, 2 mil, 3 mil. I don't know what, I think the minimum one time it was $5 million. $5 million and these guys will manage your money. And now they're going to manage your money. They're going to try to make you money. They wouldn't be around if they didn't make money. These are the smartest people on Wall Street. These are the motherfuckers who manipulate the market. These are the people who caused the crash and at the same time stepped in to try to save the crash. They made money on the upside of the trade. They made money after the fucking thing collapsed. They stayed in power, kept their brokerage firm, were given taxpayer dollars, and none of us are the wiser. Like the system keeps working, even if they have to lie, steal, cheat. Whatever they have to do, the system keeps going. Now that's been true since the beginning of the system. The market comes back. Why? Because rich people control the market. It's not a bunch of dumb hillbillies. It's not your cousin. The smartest people on the country, the most successful, the richest. These are the people who run the businesses, who run the government, who run Wall Street. It's coming back. You think they're just going to sit around and live in the fucking apocalypse? They fix it. So you have to remove the doomsday scenario from your mind. Like, you got to remove that. You got to remove that. And so all you got to do is trade along with them. You got to own the assets they own. I'm not talking trading here. I'm just talking about assets that produce cash flow from companies that we all use. Right now, you're on a phone and you pay your phone bill. You don't think people pay AT&T and Verizon? And so you can have money invested in AT&T and Verizon. So here's what I did. I began to study the history of the stock market. I began to read and take an active interest in who the players were, much like the history of football, and who was the greatest wide receiver, and who was the greatest quarterback that ever lived, and how did the Federal Reserve work? How do interest rates? I just began to study on the markets, the same way I got into real estate. You don't buy real estate without looking around. You might want to know the neighborhood you're buying in, right? Common sense for your fingers and stuff. So common sense. Think about that. Common sense. How cool is that? I mean, you don't have to be super intelligent. You can just go and read the history. And then you can decide how much your money to put in that game. But that game happens whether you put money in it or not. Whether you invest or not, people are collecting dividends. So here's what I would go and do. I had to become comfortable with the fact that my account balance was going to go up and down. And I needed to prepare for the possible eventual that the stock market could collapse. And what is the plan? And I went down the rabbit hole trying to figure out, well, you could buy options. You could buy portfolio insurance. You could buy inverse ETFs that when the market drops, they go up. And I've played all of these games. And here's what I settled on to help me live with the fact that the markets go up and down. Here's what I did. Ready? I just bought things that I understood that were solid businesses. And I began to spread the money around. I own rental properties in different neighborhoods and different sides of town, and some of the areas are nicer than other areas, and some cost different prices, and some houses I get different returns on. But there's certain areas that I'm targeting. There's certain stocks that I'm targeting because I understand them. I live in Texas. I understand oil stocks. So I'm comfortable putting $20,000 into ConocoPhillips during an oil crisis. 2015, oil fell from $100 a barrel to below $30 a barrel. When it got to $30 a barrel, I'm losing renters, drilling companies, platform, people who work in the service industry, the cooks, the drivers. The oil companies begin to lay off and the ripple effect that begins to happen. And even though my town's not a drilling town, it's close enough by because a lot of these guys work 2 weeks on or 10 days on, 10 days off. So they live away from the rig because it's cheaper. So they moved to towns like mine, and I have renters now, they can't pay rent. They're having to move because they've been laid off from a $30, $40. The guy worked for me, he made $45 an hour in the oil fields to, they lowered him to $12 an hour if he wanted to stay with the company. He got a different job. And I told him, I said, if, you know, he's a fellow serviceman, been in Afghanistan, and I like renting to people like that. He's a good guy, good man. And I said, you know, I might consider taking the pay drop and staying with the company because this is going to cycle. This is going to come back. I said, honestly, right now, man, if I was you, I'd be looking at buying some. I mean, you're doing the wrong thing. I felt he was doing the wrong thing. What he needed to do was something different. What he needed to do was to embrace the sell-off. He should have been prepared for it because he should have been studying that, hey, oil bust and boom, man. Is this new? How old you got to be to see that? But wife, kids, long story short, he moves on. And so what became a catastrophe for him became a buying opportunity for me. Why? Well, one is he made his direct living from that industry. But because I don't make my living from that industry, when that industry or that sector of the economy has a problem, I can take advantage of it by buying quality assets. Exxon, Chevron, ConocoPhillips. I mean, come on. You don't have to dig too deep to realize these are the top players, right? And so that's how I began to approach the stock market. And then I wouldn't so much worry about the price that I paid for them because I'm never going to sell them. What I began to focus on was the income that the asset produced. And so AT&T paid me 50 cents a share. And so I quickly put together this goal that every time they paid me money, I didn't want it to be like $50. I wanted the goal to be I'd get a $100 bill. So when AT&T, you know, this is early on, $100. It's like waking up, there's a $100 bill beside your nightstand. You didn't do anything. And so I just decided I would buy enough that I had enough invested that I would get real money when they paid out. But if they went to zero, it didn't blow me out. And then I just kept up with the business. And so I began to print out not what was the price of AT&T. Price goes up and down. That wasn't my concern day to day. What I wanted to know, what was the future projection of my income? And so I began to project it for the next 30 days and for the next year. And I began to build portfolios of different stocks from different sectors at different times throughout history that I've been alive that when bad things would happen. Bought some tech companies in the 2003 dot-com crash. Every time there's interest rate fears and the interest rate sensitive stocks, which seems to every couple years there's this meltdown in high yield stocks, I would just have a trophy list and I'd pick up high quality assets. The Verizon, the Procter & Gamble's, the McDonald's, the Pfizer's. And then I started researching like, shit, there's gonna be a lot of old people soon. Where the fuck are they gonna live? Old people homes. And so I said, well, I'm gonna try to get $25,000 invested in that. Because there's millions and millions and millions of people that are going to be baby boomers and they're going to get old and shit, I'm going to get old. And these things pay 5, 6, 7% returns. So every time these go on sale, because guess when they go on sale? Every time there's interest rate fears, the high yielding stocks, that would be this sector, even though it has nothing to do with them, nothing to do with they have a growing customer list, it goes down. Well, guess what? They own real estate too. Big component of their business is the buildings in which the old people live. And so they get hit whenever the real estate sector gets hit. In all my life, at least once every 10 years, every sector gets hit and the world's going to end. There's going to be zombie land, total apocalypse. It's going to happen in your life over and over and over and over and over and over. And I've had so many chances to capitalize and to profit and to build wealth from small sums of money. And yet that's not talked about. You know, what you see talked about is nobody can time the market. Nobody. Yeah, they're right. It's time in the market. Same in real estate. It's time in the market. Do you understand the return on a house you've owned for 10 years is enormous? compared to the return on a house you just bought last month? And I have houses that are small, they're in good condition, they rent for $800-$900 a month. You think that's gonna change when things get bad? You think people won't pay $800-$900? No, that's gonna be the people paying. I mean, you think it's hard to sell a $120,000 house in this market today? No, pretty easy, right? And so you don't have to be a genius to see the value in an asset like that. And so I just began to try to accumulate these, listening to people who were talking like I'm talking, reading books, just studying. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifetime event. It's 18 years. Being an investor is not a one-time event. Being an investor, guess what? Storms, shit's going to happen. It's going to be lawsuits. People are going to fail. You're going to go through down cycles. Hello. People die. That's what term insurance is about. And so you begin to approach this thing not as a one-time event, not as something you're trying to time, not as something you're trying to get over, not some passive income strategy where you don't actually do shit. But a life philosophy. Life philosophy. You don't just decide to have financial freedom and you get it. It's something you work into. You don't just buy it. You accumulate it over time. Everyone does. Every single person who's rich right now accumulated it over time. And if they didn't, they got it from someone who did. Originally, it accumulated. So if you're not accumulating, you're not fucking participating. Don't cry when you're broke. And so I began to print off all my stocks. I would do these printouts And on the printout, I would put the account balance, but what I was more worried about was what is the next month and the next year of dividends. And so as I got like 8, 9 stocks, it would be like $3,000. I'm going to get $3,000 this year. Does that change your life? No. But it's $3,000 compounded into what you were putting in. And then you get to the point where all of a sudden it's $10,000. $20,000. What happens when your dividends are paying you $30,000? You think it's easy to get rich then? And so in the Bible, Jesus says, those who have, even more will be given, and those who have not, even what they have will be taken. Why? Because they didn't accumulate shit. And so I'd print off each one. I'd print off pictures of all my houses. And what I would have before me would be this portfolio of assets that produce cash flow. Some would be $13. And some would be $1,200. And each of these assets was purchased at a time and place in history. But first, only first, after I worked, saved the money, and then invested the money. Earn money, save money, invest money. That's it. That's it. And not let your lifestyle eat it. Not let the forces of the world that are lined against you eat it. And I've talked on that. We won't regurgitate that. And so my advice to you is the thing that you think about comes about. The things that you focus on grow. Print those assets out. So if you have the one stock, get the folder out. Put my portfolio, my cash machine, me getting rich, whatever you want to call it, and go to your fucking computer and physically print it. And after you print it, run on the thing. What is your estimated one-year income from owning this asset? Write it at the top of the paper. Then write what it is in the next 30 days. Now, you may not have anything yet in the next 30 days because you have to begin accumulating a portfolio because they don't all pay at the same time. But once you get 6, 7, 8, 9 assets, you're going to have a monthly and a yearly. These assets are right in front of you. You're going to watch YouTube videos on the people that own the company, and you're going to understand it. What affects these companies? What's a perfect market environment look like? Yeah, all of a sudden, you're going to take an active interest in your own finances. And you're going to become a person who accumulates. The person who gets to accumulate later gets to distribute. And that same book says it's better to give than to receive. Seems like you need to have it, right? So figure out what your assets are, print them. And if your debts are bigger than the assets, you're failing. You have failed. And all you got to do is right now, print it. Print the debt too. Put it in a folder. And if you don't have anything to put in the asset folder, write that down too. Put assets. It's empty. Now look at it. Fix that shit. This is what mindset's about. The three keys to a successful life: health, wealth, and mindset. If you don't get your mind right, this is what the guru means by first investing in yourself, getting your mindset right. You say, well, I'm scared of the market. You don't even know the market. How the fuck are you scared of something you don't even know? You scared of bugs too? Like, my God. How can people be getting rich all around you in something and you just, I'm not even playing it. I'm not even doing it. And your excuse is you're 16. Nobody gives a shit. Invest. That's your excuse? I'm black? That the big barrier keeping you from investing? You're black. Or Mexican? Is that it? You're Hispanic so you can't invest? Is that the barrier for you? That's all it takes? You were fucking born? Is that it for women? Well, you don't understand, Gerald. I'm a woman. So that's it. Just being fucking born put a barrier in front of you. That's how simple you are. That's how easily defeated you are. That your very fucking birth has stopped you from moving forward. Holy shit! Holy shit. Or, you think, okay, I'm 19 years old, I'm in Iraq, my job is to take out landmines. Serious shit, right? And color didn't matter, age didn't too much matter. What mattered is that you were on the task, that you were focused. You had put in the reps. Repetition is the mother of skill, that you had actually acquired the skill necessary to do the task that you're fixing to do, because if you don't, it could get everyone around you killed. And guess what? If you don't get this finance shit straight, if you don't get control of this money, I promise you, you could get everyone around you killed.